thank you. Those are great words in that song because they point us to even greater words. The words of God's revealed will. And they are ancient, but they are new every day when we read them and when we consider them. Make them part of our heart, part of our mind. They live. They breathe. They act. I want to talk to you for a few moments about that this morning. Kind of got a list of subjects and topics from the elders to talk about this year. And this month, the month of January, I'm going to be talking about the book of James. And I have as kind of my title for this series of sermons on the book of James is Faith in Action. Faith in Action. Because faith that is real faith acts. And this morning we're going to look at the first part of chapter 1, a section that talks about how we deal with trials. Facing our trials and dealing with our trials with faith. Because if you really do have faith, you really do believe in God, you really do trust in God, then that will play out in how you handle the bad things that happen to you. Let's read these words together, these ancient words. Let's make them part of our faith. Now let's put them in practice. Let's start in the first verse where James gives us a greeting. There's I cut it out. I forgot. I cut out the first verse. That sounds bad, doesn't it? James says to all of us, he says to the 12 tribes dispersed abroad, greetings. Hello, that's a greetings from James. The brother of Jesus, I believe it is the brother of Jesus, James. To you, greetings. But this is what he has to say to you. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. He just kind of jumps right out there, doesn't he? After saying, hello, you know when you suffer, this is what you ought to do. Count it as all joy. Now that sounds like an odd thing to say, doesn't it? But it's a matter of what you consider something. You know, we have that expression, it is what it is. Yeah, it is what it is. But what you make of it, what you do with it, that's up to you. Some versions say count it, consider it. The actual word there refers to a considered opinion. You look at it and you assess it. Now, a trial is what it is. A trial is a hardship, a heartache, a painful thing. A trial is not welcome. It is not comfortable. It is not good. It is something that makes us unhappy, right? Yeah. But then you can step back and you can consider it. You can look at it. And as a person of faith, you have the option of looking at it differently than other people do. And what James tells us to do, incredibly, remarkably, is to look at that trial. And in your heart and in your mind, because of your faith in God, consider it this way. All joy. And that is literally what it says in the original text. All joy. Now, that's not the first thought that comes to our mind when we encounter a trial, when we When something bad happens to us, something that is hurtful to us, whether it be a physical malady or a setback or a misfortune, or something bad that happens to our country or to a family member, joy is not the first thought. And yet, James says, this is the way I want you to think about it. Joy. Not half joy, not part joy, all joy. Now that doesn't make any sense. Well, it doesn't make any sense to a worldly person, to a person who doesn't have God in their life. Misfortune is just misfortune. What else can you make of it? You know, it is just is a terrible thing. And yet, for us, we go through the same heartaches and problems that everybody else does, and yet for us, everything in life, everything takes upon a different flavor, a different color as a consequence of the fact that we know what life is about and we know where life is going and we know that we have a God in charge and we know what He's going to do with all of these things and we know what He's going to do with us. And because of that, when we look at that trial, we can see it differently than other people can. And in fact, we can see it as something that can ultimately, in the end, in the final assessment, be joyous. Because when you have God in your life, and God in your life forever, everything is going to be okay. Everything is joyous. Even trials. And that's not to say that we're supposed to be delusional or that we're supposed to be somehow, you know, Pollyannish. And I know that's a word that not anybody really even knows what it means anymore. But the idea that you just, oh, everything's good, everything's wonderful. No, we can have heartache. We can have grief. We suffer loss. And yet, our final assessment, our overall assessment, the way that we look at this, joy. Well, how can you do that? How can you possibly do that? To count it as joy, to mark it down as joy when we encounter various trials. And there's lots of different ones. I'm not talking about just one kind or another, all of them, any of them. As Christians, certainly we encounter trials, challenges, temptations, problems, but all of them, various kinds, whatever they may be. James writes in a day and time when you can well imagine that the Christians to whom he is writing had lots of different problems, living in a society that was against their faith, whether it be pagan or Jewish. Problems with family, problems with friends, problems with business. And yet James says, when those things happen, when those trials occur, count it as joy. Well, why? Why would we ever do that, James? Because we know something that other people don't know. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Now, for most people in the world, people without faith, a trial is just a setback. But for those of us with faith, we understand what life is about. And we understand that a trial is a test of our faith. A trial is one of those things where faith actually comes into play. For us, faith is not a box that we check off. Faith is something that's real. There really is a God. This world really is His. And this trial that I am facing is of my faith in that God. And that's real. My faith is real. God is real. This trial is real. And this trial is testing my faith. And it is. And it does. But if I get through that trial, and I know I will, and I get through that trial with my faith intact, and I've done the right thing as best I could, and I've trusted in God, and I've borne that trial, and my faith gets stronger. It has produced endurance in me. Endurance. Now that word is translated differently ways. Perseverance is another way it's translated. But it's simply a word that means bear under. To remain under. When the weight bears down, the natural inclination is to move away from the weight. I don't want that. Get that away from me. But to stay there and have the weight bear down on you, to endure. And in this context, we're talking about to remain as a person of faith. To hold your faith, to keep your faith, even in the midst of trial, even under that duress, that pressure, that heartache, that hardship, but to remain. That's endurance. Is that not valuable? Yes, it is. We all understand the concept in physical training, athletic training. How do you build endurance? Well, you stress the muscles. And you continue to stress the muscles. In fact, the way that you build muscle is that you go, you press them to the point of failure. But in order to press them to the point of failure, you've got to just keep going and keep going and keep going. And faith, I'm not saying that we press our faith to the point of failure, but I'm saying we stress it. Through trials stress our faith. They do. And when we remain, when we hold up under that trial and we keep our faith in God and we say, God, I know that you're there. I know that you'll be there for me. I know you'll get me through this. Our faith builds and we build endurance. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a good thing. That's a joyous thing. How else is that going to happen? Until our faith encounters trial, then what is our faith except something that's perspective? But under trial, it's real. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let it happen. Let endurance have its perfect result. And the word that's translated there, perfect, means complete, whole. Don't you want to have the fullness of faith, the completeness of it? Well, let it happen. Let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, you know, there are a lot of things that come out of trials that are good. And here's just a list of them. You know, it proves our faith. You want to have a chance to prove your faith? That's what a trial is. And it produces endurance. It makes your faith stronger. It's something that breaks the trance of this world. If nothing bad ever happened to us, then our faith would have little occasion to grow or to strengthen. And in fact, it wouldn't be necessary. You know, everything is just going along fine. And you might say, well, I would welcome a stretch of that. You know, I would welcome a few days or months in which nothing bad happens. And yet, you understand, of course, that that's the way people think in the world. People look at it in the world, if nothing bad ever happened to them, they'd be fine with that. Because that's all they want. That's all they expect. That's all that they are trying to get out of this life, is just have some comforts and some pleasures and some relaxing time, enjoy themselves, and that's all they care about, and so they would be fine with no trials. But we can't think that way. I believe that this world really is not what I want. And I don't want just to have the comforts and pleasures of this life. And what trials do is they thump us on the head and they say, what's your life really about? What do you really believe in? What do you really care about? That's something that comes out of trial. And of course, it prepares us for what is what is truly joyous. And you know, the strange thing about trials is that it pulls you closer if you respond to them correctly. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. If you don't count them as joy, if you count them as bitterness and pain and suffering, and that's all that matters to you, and that's all that it, and you just get depressed and you get downcast, it drags you down. I understand that. But if you understand that it's waking you up and it's saying, you know, what is it that, what do I really care about? What's really important to me? And what I really care about, what's really important to me, is my relationship with God and how that's going to go on forever. And it pulls you up into an area of thought and consideration that is joyous. And it prompts us to seek God's strength. Those of us with faith. Now, it can make you blame God. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on in this same context. It can turn your heart away from God. It can do that. That's your choice. You can do that. But if you are a person of faith, then what you do is you say, you know what? I'm going to trust God here. Now, yesterday, when everything was going right and everything was going well, I didn't really think much about God. I didn't really think about how I needed God. But today, I need God. I needed God today. God, I need you. That's a good thing, isn't it? That you're reminded of that. And it draws all of us closer together, people of faith. When something happens in your life that you have a hard time handling and bearing, you know, you reach out to your brothers and sisters, people of like precious faith, and you lean on them, and they lean on you, and we draw close together, and that's a good thing too. All of these things are a reason to count trials as joy. All joy, or as the NIV says, pure joy. And it's not to say that we don't feel the pain. It's not to say that we're not in discomfort. It's not to say that there aren't aspects of trials that are certainly not welcome. And yet, the way that we consider it, the way that we count it, the way that we think about it, our considered opinion about it, as a person of faith, is that these are the things that come out of trials. And so I'm going to say, Lord, I give you the glory. You think about what Job said. His wife said, Job, just curse God and die. Job, you lost everything. You lost your children. You lost your health. Curse God and die. That's not what Job did. He gave glory to God. The Lord has given. The Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Pretty remarkable, but that's what people of faith do. Now, sometimes it's difficult to see things that way. And so James says, now, if you lack wisdom, and I understand this in the context of what he's talking about. He's talking about facing trials. And you could apply this passage to just about anything, I suppose. But specifically in this context, let's talk about trials. If you lack that wisdom, and it's easy to do, because, man, when bad things happen, all we can do is focus on the bad, you know. And it's hard to see it in any other way. But James says, if you lack wisdom, here's what you should do. Let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. You know, the most common reaction when we encounter trials is to pray to God and say, God, take the trial away. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with asking for relief from God, to ask for healing, to ask for a problem or a specific issue in your life to be alleviated. There's nothing wrong with that. And yet, what James says is, look, here's what you should pray for as well. Wisdom. Help me, God. Help me to understand. Help me to see. And we all need that. We all lack that wisdom because, you know, we are physical creatures, and we suffer, and we focus, and we so look at these problems in our life. Sometimes it's all we can see, and we lack wisdom. We do. We all just lack wisdom. And yet, James says, take a moment, pause. You're a person of faith. What does a person of faith do? Pray. Ask God. Ask for his help. Ask not just for deliverance, but ask for wisdom and understanding to deal with the dilemma that you're in, the problem that you're in. God, help me. Help me to do what I can to deal with this problem, but to transcend it as well in my heart and my mind, to count it as joy, to see what might come out of it, to see what role it might play in my life. Help me to lean on you. Help me to lean on others. Help me to build my faith. Help me, Lord. And he will. Now, I believe that. I believe in answered prayer. I believe that God answers prayer in the affirmative. You know, we have that saying that, you know, God always answers prayer, but sometimes the answer is no. Well, it may be no in terms of the specific thing for which we're asking, but it's always yes. In that God will always help. He will always answer. He will always give. If you ask for him. But there's a requisite. There's a requirement. You have to faith. You have to have faith. You have to ask in faith. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. And that's faith. This is faith in action. The trial comes. How are you going to deal with it? How are you going to respond to it? Employ your faith. I've told you this before, but when Peg and I watch television programs or a movie or something, and there's a fight, there's an encounter between two people. my go-to statement is, shoot him! Just shoot him! He's right there! You got a gun! Shoot him! She loves it. She loves it when I do that. You got faith. Use it. Use your faith. Employ it. Ask God for help in faith. Believe in it. Believe that he's going to do something. Don't doubt. Don't doubt that. There's no doubting. Say, God, I've got this trial. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know, you know, please take it away. But, you know, your will be done if it continues. Help me deal with it. I know that you will. I believe that you will. I can endure this. I know through the strength that comes through Jesus Christ, who died that cruel and agonizing death on the cross for me. He endured. He bore under. I know that I can through you and through him. I believe that. No doubting. No doubt in my mind. But the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. And see, that's the problem we so often have, is our faith wavers. And we don't, you know, our trust is not there. And so we want to believe, but we don't really believe. We pray, but we don't really think anything's going to happen. And you can't count things as joy when that's happening in your mind, in your heart. That's not wisdom. And I understand the trial is hard. I consider myself fortunate in my life. I don't think that God has ever pressed me really hard. I don't think he has. Maybe I'm missing something. And maybe I couldn't handle it. I don't know. You know, the scriptures say that God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able to bear. I've had to deal with some hard things, but nothing especially hard. And that may happen yet, and I have to be prepared for that. We all do. But here's the deal. God is greater than all of our problems. And his ability and willingness to help transcends the worst things that can happen to us. And as people of faith, we have to believe that. Believe that 100%. Because the person who doubts, that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. We cannot have half-hearted religion. We cannot have half a faith. We can't sit on the fence. Sometimes we do. Too often we do. Do you feel like in your practice of your faith that you've been this way? Make a commitment to the Lord. Say to Him, I want to be a person of faith always. And not just on the good days where I just kind of make a pretense of having faith because, you know, doesn't cost you anything, but on the bad days, on the days when it's hard and you're struggling and it's not easy, on those days, that's when the rubber meets the road. That's when you have to make up your mind. Am I all in on this faith thing? I believe God, absolutely, even when it's hard, even when it's challenging, even when it doesn't come easily, I'm still going to believe. That's what you have to decide. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. Now, this part here, I think I got a pretty good handle on that. If you're a person who has struggles and problems in your life, you may be poor or you may be struggling in emotional ways or in ways that I can't even imagine. Rejoice. Boast. In His exaltation. Because you know that as a child of God, God is lifting you up. He is exalting you. He is cleansing you from all of your sins, and He is taking you into eternal glory. And that is your life. That is real. That is happening. It is ongoing. Embrace it. Enjoy it. Experience it. Boast about it. To yourself, if nobody else, or boast to your brethren. God is delivering us. God is lifting us up. God is helping us. Now, here's the part that people disagree about, and the rich. Who's that? Now, some people say that this is also a rich brother. And a rich brother who's everything's going good in his life, he's got stuff going on that is great. But what he should do is he should understand that those things don't matter. The worldly things, the things that people look at and admire about him and envy about him, his assessment of those things should be that they are worthless. That's one assessment. My personal opinion is that it's contrasting the brother with the person who's not the brother. That what the person who glories in this world's stuff, that they are missing it. That what they don't understand is that what they have is worthless. Because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. He will pass away. The fellow who's not a brother, who values this world's stuff and that's all that matters to him, and everything's going great for him, but what he should realize is that the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grasses, its flower falls, and its beauty perishes, so also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. In the book of James, generally, the rich, bad guys, they are the guys who don't get it. They don't understand. They don't understand that this is what's happening. And so in our assessment as people of faith, we should know that. Yes, we've got loss and heartaches and trials and difficulties, but we are being exalted and lifted up. And if we had all of that stuff and everything was going right for us in our life, in this world, it would be nothing. It wouldn't matter. That's the way that we ought to look at that and see that. Verse 12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Blessed. And that's the word makarios. It means happy. Fortunate. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Man. This is how people of faith see life. That we are happy, we are blessed, we are fortunate, even when we undergo trials. Because we've got so much more going on. We have a God in heaven who, once we have gone through these challenges and difficulties, he will give us the crown of life. Because God has promised. He has promised to give it. And he will give it. And there is no reason to doubt that. And that's the way that we ought to see our life. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am being tempted by God," for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. You see, here's the challenge sometimes when bad things happen, is our faith is tested in this regard. We think, well, God did this to me because he just doesn't like me, or he hates me, or God is trying to hurt me, or God is trying to drive me away, or God is... People blame God, and that's what people do. They blame God. And James is saying, don't do that. That's not the response of faith. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. You know, the teacher gives you the test because he's trying to get you to succeed. Now, your fellow student who says, "Let's skip class," he's trying to get you to fail. God is trying to get us to succeed. The devil is trying to get us to fail. And a person of faith sees that and knows that. It's a challenge to your faith, but your faith has got to pull through that challenge. Because there's darkness within us that wants us to blame God, that wants us to instead give in to those things that the rich people want. You know, the rich people who don't even believe in God, who think that all that they're ever going to get is what they can grasp and grab and hoard in this life. Those people are answering to the darkness within them that is enticing them and tempting them. But don't be that way. The desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. You see, faith in the face of trials means that we should not blame God for our hardships. Because doubts and blame and bitterness, they come from us. Count it joy. Don't count it as blame. Don't count it as bitterness. Don't count it as, oh, this is terrible, this is loss, and oh, woe is me. Don't do that. Don't answer to that darkness within you. Don't do that. Because when you do that, it just produces death. Everybody undergoes trials. Everybody goes through these things. The question is, are you going to face that trial as a person of faith or as a person without faith? Without faith, it produces only death. That's all that will come out of it. But with faith, it produces a crown of life. Those are the choices that you have before you. Instead, reaffirm your faith. Face your trial with faith. Don't blame God. Don't say, oh, you know, woe is me. Face your trial with faith. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. We may doubt sometimes, we may question sometimes, but God doesn't. God is always good. God is always kind. God will always help. God will always come through. Don't doubt him. Don't blame him. God is the one who's on your side. Don't be deceived. The world would deceive us. The devil would deceive us. The world would make us question our faith. Don't be deceived. The good things in your life come from God. Believe in him. Trust in him. And finally, verse 18, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. That's what God's trying to do in your life. That's what God is doing. He is trying to help you. He is trying to lift you out of the mire of the sin and the decay of this world, and through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, transform your heart and your soul into something beautiful and wonderful and eternal. And all you need to do is to apply your faith. Put your faith into action. And let God give birth to you give birth to you through the word of truth, and make you the first fruits of all that he has created. Faith in the face of trial. God is at work to make us into something wonderful. Even in the midst of trials, God is working with us to make us something wonderful. And we will face trials in that process. And it won't be easy. But we have to trust God and rejoice rather than doubt. That's the choice that you have to make. Faith or no? And if faith, put it into action. When you face trials, put your faith into action. This morning, I invite you to put your faith into action by obeying the gospel. Let the word of God's truth create in you something wonderful, a child of God, a forgiven brother and sister of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "He that believes in me and is baptized shall be saved." That is a promise that the Lord will deliver on. Put your faith in that statement into action this morning. Obey the gospel. If you need to, come forward and say you will as we stand and sing.
Wonderful story.